Rotten Bears fan, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. We got Lance in the building. We're reacting to everything today. We got Caitlin Clark talk. We got Bears talk. We got South Carolina talk. We got some WrestleMania talk. Lance, you mess with a little WrestleMania? We'll get into all that on today's episode. So stay tuned in with us. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page, lead a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, what's going on out there, man? You preparing for the eclipse, brother?
I mean, listen, it's, you know, in the state of Arizona, you know, it's really wide open. So, you know, when you look to the sky, you get to see a lot of the stars and the you know, the solar systems and things like that. You see a lot of color in the sky. So it's always been cool. And I remember when I left Sacramento and came out to Tucson, Arizona to go to college, I remember being outside and just, you know, laying outside, you know, whatever, outside a friend's house and just sitting back and looking up. And I'm like, wow, like I didn't realize the sky was this lit up, you know. And so it was always cool, you know. And I would always advise anybody in if they're in Arizona, you know, just go back into your backyard, just lay back and just look at the sky when you can.
Be careful of rattlesnakes out there, though. Yeah, I mean, they're out there.
And scorpions.
And scorpions, yes. Maybe lay on an elevated...
You're fine.
You seen those with little cot? Yeah, I mean, little cot action? I said cot.
Yes, I heard.
Got to clarify. No Diddy.
Listen, no Diddy. It is a new era.
Hey.
It's a new era. Hey, but you know what? Rattlesnakes, they warn you. Rattlesnakes warn you, you know. So that's the good thing about that. You know, I was a guy that didn't have the key to the front door and always used the back door, and would go through the side gate. And the side gate, I'd hear the rattle every time. So it was a sprint every time. I would sprint right through just to get by. You know, and listen, I did this for at least half a year before I actually went and said, all right, I'm gonna get the new key, and that rattle was every time. Never got bit, not one time. Okay.
That's why you were able to move on the field so well. You come was getting on. That training.
I was high stepping feet this high up here. Wow.
Hey. I love it. Well, maybe that's what we're going to get in this draft here, man. Maybe we can find a player that's dealing with rattlesnakes and scorpions in the backyard.
That's a special player. You get that.
Shoot. I'm telling you, dog. Like, that's how we know why everybody keeps losing to the African runners, right? I mean, that's a different environment you got to run in. That's a different level of, hey, I'm running. We running for real out here. That's what we're looking for on this football field. A guy that has to dodge snakes and scorpions. You know he's going to have great footwork. He's going to be precise with his steps. You know what I mean? I like it.
He's running from snakes, you know, scorpions, cheetahs. Lions.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on, man. This is all in the forefront right here, you know? It's a different type of running.
It's probably why them Australian players are so good when you look at those rugby guys that get old. Yeah, because, I mean, everything in Australia is trying to kill you. Like, Australia's just trying to kill you.
Australia has 38 of the most deadliest creatures in the world. There are creatures in Australia that there's no anti-venom. There's nothing. Like, once there's a deer tick, there's a deer tick in Australia that once it digs into your skin, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, Lance, don't let me find out you're a big Nat Geo guy out here, dog. I mean, we gonna have a whole different conversation on this podcast now.
I tell you, you know what, man, sometimes when I'm bored or can't sleep, like, I'll chase rabbit holes, you know. So like if I'm thinking like, or something interesting, you know, like, this is the most deadliest snake
that
lives in Australia. And I'm like, let me look at all the best deadliest snakes tonight. And I look at all look them all up, their histories, their videos, all kinds of stuff, you know?
Hey, what man. To
do if you're ever around? Are they dangerous? Do they attack you? You know,
and that's,
are they aggressive?
Hey, and that's the thing. It's the most depressing thing. I want to go to Australia, but like the black part of me just won't allow me to do it. Cause it literally goes, what to do if they bite you?
If they right, that's what you
call,
always want to
know. Call your loved ones. Wait, yes. What? What? Call your loved ones. It's not going to go well for you.
There's this video of big cats and like wildebeest getting bit by reacting to black mamba bites.
Yes, I've seen it.
Holy moly, I'm telling you.
It's bad. Yeah. I've seen it. It was like a mother lion with like her cubs, and it was just like, the cubs gonna survive. And it's over.
And the auntie lion is looking at her like this and got the cubs by her. We're like, go on, y'all. Go on.
Yeah, y'all
like,
go on. Go on. Say your goodbyes. Yeah. We don't live in an anti-venom world. She gonna die. It's over.
Oh, the wildebeest broke down. He broke down all the way.
Hey, man. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Show love. This is the greatest podcast of all time. You get everything on this. Stop playing with us, dog. Hey, let's start it off here with our road to the draft, Lance, because I have a very interesting question pertaining to you. Road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Let's get a little bit of Bears football in here before we go out all crazy. You've started your draft evals, especially on these defensive guys, but I want to expand this out. Who is the Lance Briggs in this draft? Who is the player that teams are somewhat overlooking and are going to say, you know, maybe we take him in the second round, third round, that you look at and you're like, this kid's going to be a monster when he hits the field, and you are all going to regret passing on him?
Mm. This is an easy one. This is an easy one. We're mentioning an Arizona guy. I'm going to pass the torch to another Arizona guy. All right, let's go with Jordan Morgan.
All right? Really,
the left tackle from the University of Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, he's got a first round grade. Okay, he may work into the second round. You know, he'll definitely be a lock for the second round at some point. But this is a guy that dominated during the Senior Bowl week. Okay, he did extremely well. His name, you know, when his name popped up or his name came up, they said this is a guy that had a great week.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a Tucson native. He's from Tucson, and he was brought into the Jed Fish program, and really excelled. You know, what I mean, he was a guy that really took off over there and became a staple, you know, in that offense and protecting all those quarterbacks, and especially this last year, protecting Noah Fifita, you know, and that prolific offense, allowing the Wildcats to get 10 wins last year. So he's a guy, if you want to talk about somebody who's probably like, hey, listen, I know he's grading well, but there's a lot of talent here, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the NFL, it's like, okay, we know you're good, but how far can we wait before we have to get you? It's all about when we have to get
right,
you.
Right, 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 right.
You know, and so I'd say keep an eye out for that kid. And if it comes to it and we have to draft back and we were still looking for that tackle, we haven't got him yet, and he's available, I would love to have that guy dress up in a Bears uniform. I think everybody will be happy with him, and he'll protect Caleb or whomever else that we may possibly get. But if he gets Caleb, you know, then he's going to protect his backside. We'll have Darnell Wright on his right side. We'll be happy. We'll be in good shape.
Jordan Morgan is a very interesting player. I brought him up as somebody who I'd like to see the Bears take as well because of the kind of offense that we're going into. I think struggled a little bit in the run blocking area, and maybe that's somewhere where as a Bears fan you go, but we got to run the football. We're the Bears, right? Like, it feels like everybody's still living in that old school moment. I'm telling y'all, Shane Waldron is coming here, and the ball is going to be in the air. We're going to be upset with probably the amount at the end of the year that we ran the football realistically. And this guy, Jordan Morgan, to me, absolute greater in the pass block. And somebody who I think is a... I don't know if he's a clear-cut upgrade over Braxton Jones, but I think that he's somebody, and I think you'd agree with this, Lance, that you probably look at and say he comes into the NFL at a similar level where Braxton is right now. That's where Jordan Morgan would probably be starting off.
Yeah, you know, it's and Braxton's come a long way, you know, and he certainly has earned his recognition. The fact that we're still talking about, you know, even upgrading at his position, you know, it says a lot about where we are, you know, as an organization.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, look, you know, as good as Braxton is, as a GM, you always have to do what's best for the team, and what's best for the team, in my opinion, is to still have I'd like to have Braxton competing with a first or second round, especially in this draft, left tackle, you know, and if it's a competition, great, you know, may the best man win. But we also have depth there. If something happens, and everybody knows in this league, you know, most teams don't go, you know, teams don't go through a season without injuries, and most are hit by a major injury bug, you know, in position. So once the shuffle starts, we understand that shuffle in the offensive line. Once that shuffle starts, you ought to have somebody that can step in and say, okay, we don't have to miss a beat here. We're going to be all right. We don't have to shuffle our left tackle to our right guard. And then, you know, that's where real major problems happen, because that's not the side that you wanted him on.
Yeah, and that would be, I think that's the thing that we've seen with this team most of the time, right, where you're sitting there trying to move Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins has really been the candidate for it, where he's basically played every position except center. Right. You know what I mean? Like, left tackle, hey, throw yourself in there. Right tackle, we need you there this week. I mean, it's hard to get a feel for the game when you're playing a different position every week. I think that may be one of the things, though, that the Bears may look away from, because we do know that they like that versatility. Jordan Morgan, this guy's a pure left tackle. I mean, he is not somebody you're moving around. And I mean, listen, 6'5", 311. He's got great athleticism, good hands. I love how he sets, how he attacks off of that left side. I love that left hand jab that he does to get people off. And so I would love that name. Do you think that the Bears are willing to move off of what we've seen them do, though, which has been they usually go for the guys that can play a couple of positions or that have played a couple of positions?
Well, I think there's a rating for all of these players, you know, and what's best available at that time, I think, makes the most amount of sense. I don't know if that's what the Bears are going to do, but it makes the most amount of sense. So if you get to, let's say we get to the end of the first round and we're going into the second, and we've got some of those picks back. So we have a second round pick and Jordan's there. We don't have a tackle at that point, and Jordan's there. You know, I don't see why we wouldn't take him at that position, you know?
Where does he fall to where you start to go, all right, bro, this is getting disrespectful? What number does he get past where you're like, hey, y'all disrespecting my boy out here?
Well, you look at the tackles that are being taken before him, you know, and that's the way I looked at it. If there were no linebackers taken in the second round when I got drafted, then I would understand, you know, but in the second round, there were, I think, 11 linebackers. I'm like, there's 11 linebackers that were taken before me. I'm like, this guy, you know, I'm looking at this guy. All of his highlights are field goal blocks. What's going on, man? Can I get a... Can I see the linebacker making a tackle or a pick?
Hey, my man's got drafted. Who was it, Lance? Who was it? All his highlights in college was field goal blocks. Who went ahead of you?
It was Boss Bailey. His name was Boss Bailey. Facts.
Hey, I feel like it's so interesting because we talk about this guy every year. Not specifically Jordan Morgan, but we talk about that guy that you just look around your draft room and go, hey, what'd y'all see? Cause how did we miss on this guy? How did we lose out on this player? How is it possible that we didn't bring him in and work him out? And I think that that's always interesting.
Listen, you know, and when I say this, man, I say this respectfully, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to the process and everybody that goes through it, because they, you know, I'm sure that a lot of these guys have worked their tails off to get where they are. But when I see certain talents that come through the NFL, you know, and I'm like, why would you like this guy? Like, why would you like this guy? You picked this guy and you had all these other options. And then when you walk through the halls and you look at some of the scouts, I'm like, man, this scout is here. You're a tiny guy. Like, you start wondering, like, have you ever played football? Like, you're about 5'1" and
yeah,
and 155 pounds, you know? And so then it clicks. It's like, you know, there's a lot of guys that really haven't played the game. Like you, high school level, maybe a little division 4, 8, you know, but you start to get it caught up in the numbers. You're like, man, this guy is, his bench press was crazy and his 40 time and all this. I'm like, yeah, but can he play football?
But I think we see both sides of that, don't we, Lance? We've seen the players that step in and they're like, I know what I'm looking for. And then it's like, do you? Because the team that you've put together has not been amazing either. I think that it's the guys that I've seen be best at it, like I love John Lynch. And when you hear his process, it's like putting the numbers guys together, the 5'1" little, I don't listen, this guy, he runs a 4.4 thing. And then you put that with the eye test of the years of NFL experience. But we've seen those players that come in too, and they like, well, I can see it. I know this guy's got it. And it's like,
well, you got to think about who's at the top. So if you want to talk about that, let's talk about Ozzie Newsome.
Right.
All right. Ozzie Newsome, Baltimore Ravens. All right. They've won a couple championships, but they are a team that even when you think they're on their downslope, they find talent to get them into the doggone playoffs. They are a playoff contending team every year.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And Ozzie Newsome is a former player that hires guys, you know what I mean? Whether they're football guys or not, it still starts at the top with a football guy.
Yeah.
You don't have to, it's not a perfect science. Absolutely. At all. You know what I mean? And when a guy misses you, a lot of times the thought is, dang, I can't believe he missed on that one. I thought he was going to be something too. You know, but there's if you're a football guy and you're watching Kevin White, you know, you're watching Kevin White, you're like, nothing that I see is going to transfer to the league, man.
You mean those highlights of him going straight?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get it, man. Okay, he bitched a lot and he ran fast. I don't get it. Right, and so when it
jumps out of swimming pools, dog.
Gilbert, Jerron Gilbert, I got. That shouldn't be a highlight.
Yeah,
you know, and so that when I talk about Boss Bailey being drafted before me and going, you know, what earlier mid second round, you know, his linebacker highlight shouldn't be him blocking kicks or field goals. Like, yeah. You drafted a linebacker. Show me linebacker highlights. You know,
I got a list of all the guys here that were taken ahead of you. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I've ever gone through this. I knew Peanut was second round, but
Nick Barnett. Yeah, Nick Barnett.
what a miss by some of these teams. EJ Henderson.
You know, I mean, Piece of Tino Asamoah was. He's a player. He was a hell of a player. Yep. I watched him. I watched his highlights, but I also played next to him in the Senior Bowl. He flew all over the place. I was like, this guy is legit.
You were cool with that.
All over the place. Absolutely. Absolutely. He was all over the place. And got a chance to play with him as well. And dang, if he hadn't got hurt, I mean, that three, me, Urlacher, and Pisa would have been the best three player combination that we could have had. We just didn't get it.
Absolutely.
It was so short.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And we played with some really good linebackers, some great guys that could really play. But Pisa, man, a healthy Pisa was something else.
It was dangerous. I remember that. It was short, but it was dangerous. Yeah. Kawika Mitchell to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Kawika. Love Kawika, man. Love Kawika.
Eddie Kansas Moore City to the Chiefs, Miami.
He ended up at the Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills. Kawika did.
Okay.
Majority of his career. Yep.
Eddie Moore to the Miami Dolphins.
Yep. Eddie Moore. I believe he went to Kansas State guy. Maybe I think it was Kansas.
Tennessee.
State, Tennessee. Okay.
Tennessee. He was in the SEC. I just want y'all to hear the difference in the yeps as I name these players off. They, yeah. I mean, it was like Pisa. Oh, yeah, that's my guy. Eddie Moore. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Terry Pierce to the Denver Broncos.
He's the Kansas State guy. He's from Kansas
State. He is the Kansas State guy, yes.
Kansas State guy, yep. Because when I remember going into the combine, there were who are the top at outside backers. So, you know, he was one of the guys that was up on that chain. So I knew I was competing. So, you know, when you go, you hear the name. So then you see everybody put the you want to see their face.
Okay, he got a little something.
Nice little build on him. Okay.
Alonzo Jackson went to the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Florida State. Yep. Antoine Peake, just ahead of you, Lynch. Just ahead of you to the Houston Texans out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then our own Lance Briggs going one pick ahead of Jason Witten, baby. One pick ahead. Hey, that's a class, bro. I'm not going to lie. You're part of the class here, dog.
And the cool thing, like, so Jason Witten, we worked out together. We trained together. And what was cool was, you know, we started doing one-on-ones, you know, because we're like, man, we really want to do some football stuff. So we'll do some one-on-ones. And so I think the first day that we went out and did one-on-ones, he wasn't expecting my coverage to be what it was, you know, and it was one of those, you know, that first time getting off the ball and I'm jamming the shit out of him. You know what I mean? He's fighting through and pushing off. And you know what I mean? And I remember him looking back and he's like, oh yeah, we got to do this all the time. I want to do one-on-ones. We've got to do this all the time. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Hey, so, I love it.
It was great. It was good.
Man, listen, and I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. The draft is an inexact science. There's a lot of teams that wish that they had a Lance Briggs on their team. It was some good names in there, but there was some, yeah, we heard the yips.
Yep.
Oh, man, we got to let you guys know this episode of the Chicago Bears podcast brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80 94. All right, Lance, let's keep this thing moving along here. We got to talk about greatness here. We got to talk about greatness, my guy.
And
we
saw greatness.
A lot of greatness this weekend.
Yes, we did.
South Carolina winning it all. Oh, my goodness. What did you see in that national championship game between South Carolina and, I mean, let's be real, Caitlin Clark, right? Like, that's pretty much what showed up for that game.
Hey, listen, 30s, I think it was something like 37, 38 bench points versus zero.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it is funny, man, because my nephew and my oldest son, they were hoping that Caitlin could do it. And I'm telling them, like, listen, you guys, I don't know if you guys know this bench. You know, this South Carolina team is extremely loaded. Like, you know, everybody, I mean, you got a shooter's chance, but she'd have to stop, pull up, and make every three all game long.
And she started trying that in the second half. Like, it was like, we're not going to make it.
But they're going to contest every one of those shots. So it's very difficult to do. And so you got to see and to watch South Carolina do what they did. It is a very unselfish team. To say it, we're going to share points. I'm going to share minutes with all of these other girls to be great. Because it literally means it's about the team.
Leading scorer is off the bench.
Yeah.
Tessa Johnson is your leading scorer. And I'm telling you, it could have been anybody that was hot that day. But once they saw that Iowa had nothing for Tessa Johnson, she just kept going, get back out there. Get back out there. Go build him. I loved it.
And but on the flip side, it also speaks to how great of a player that Caitlin Clark is.
Yeah.
You know, because we really shake it down, you know, she took really a kind of a mediocre team, you know, ability type team and carried and really, you know, I mean, I would say that you just straight carried them, but she had kind of helped will them, you know, to a championship.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really impressive. And when I say, you know, mediocre or not that elite background,
it's not on the same level as
you don't have a bunch of, you know, the All-Americans, the history-making players on your roster. You know, you're getting the best you can out of your roster. You literally are. You really are. And it also speaks a lot to the roster because, you know, she didn't do it alone. And with that roster, they got to the national championship.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. It was a game where it was Caitlin Clark, amazing first half, kind of got locked down a little bit more in the second half, 18 in the first half. But, I mean, it was Kate Martin, and that pretty much was the game. You know what I mean? Like, you just didn't have the dogs you needed. They had no answers off of the bench. Does this hurt Caitlin Clark's legacy not finishing her college career with a national championship, getting two of them essentially taken from her, from Angel Reese, and now South Carolina coming in and taking the food off her plate yet again?
It depends on what you mean by that. Like, I mean, does it hurt your legacy? No, I don't think it hurts your legacy. But there are things that will come into play in the women's game. So, you know, if you're talking NCAA legacy, Breonna Stewart won four in a row. In her 4 years, she won Stewie, four of crazy. Them. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, that's – so when it comes like for the from the outside looking in, you know, before I know those details, I'm like, oh, this is the greatest ever.
Yeah.
But as a football player, when someone – they come out and they say, well, you know, Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back that's ever played. I'm like, he has the most numbers.
Yeah.
He has the most numbers. He had a hell of an offensive line on that Dallas Cowboys, but great. Like, if you
get
watch
me started
football,
on that.
Right. If you watch football, you know what I mean? I don't think he was better than Barry Sanders in his era. So, you know, that's one of, like, from the outside looking in, you know, you may think that's the case, and she's certainly one of the greatest. But from an NCAA standpoint, from the inside, you know, the women that played understand it better than any of us.
Yeah, and I think that the only thing she'll go down as the greatest scorer in college in women's college basketball history.
Yeah,
but there was a chance to get into that next tier.
Yeah,
and she fell short of that. Right. Yeah. We'll always say Caitlin Clark, greatest scorer in college basketball. There's no doubt about that. But you're not putting her in the, I mean, to me, I don't know if you're putting her in the Candace Parker range. You're definitely not putting her in the Stewie range, right? She had a chance for two, but having a chance don't mean that you got it done.
Yeah.
And it is a team.
Don Staley didn't win it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Don Staley was there, what, three times and didn't win it. You know? I get it. It is what it is. That's fine. That's fine. That's what it, shoot, man.
Is it wild that people are like the generation of before, let's be real. It's always a generational bias that comes in. Is it wild that we're kind of seeing the, like, you didn't get it done, you're not as good as people say you are?
No, but you know what is interesting about this national championship is, and I almost posted it. I didn't, I kind of said it just kind of around my house, was this has the setting of, a Hoosiers remake, you know. I mean, this is a Hoosiers remake, and Bluter is Gene Hackman.
That's crazy. It's not a bad storyline, though. Right? I'm not gonna lie. I'm not out on it. Man. Can we get it done? Can we get it done? I'm not out on it.
And if they would have pulled it off, I probably would have posted the Hoosiers that in the game ending and all that. It was,
yeah,
you know,
it was. That's not a bad take, Lance. That's kind of weird. But I mean, Indiana, I see where you're going here. There's so much that happened this weekend. Let's keep this thing moving along, though. Hey, Lance, you a WrestleMania guy? Did you check out any WrestleMania this weekend, Lance?
I used to be. I grew up a WrestleMania guy. I got out of it honestly right when The Rock started blowing up.
Oh, so you weren't even a part of all of The Rock stuff. You were out by then. You were like, it's all right.
Well, you know, when The Rock started, it was everybody was using his lines, you know what I mean? And so I wasn't really there there the way that I, like, I wasn't really there consistently when the right. Rock blew up, but everybody was like, you smell what I'm cooking, you know?
You couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't get away from it.
I couldn't get away from it, you know, and I know that that he was, you know, he was the headliner and all that stuff. So it's a big deal when the Rock's around.
Oh yeah, listen, anytime something goes down with Vince McMahon and this craziness happening around him, the Rock's gotta come back and save the day. Yeah, you know what I mean? And WrestleMania last night was one of the better. It's so weird, right? Because at this point, we all know that the moves they're doing are real. The flips, all of that is amazing. But we all know it's scripted. But even with something being scripted, even with, right, you got to deal with the changes that come in, it's still one of the most entertaining events of the year. And I'll be honest with you, night one of WrestleMania, there were more people watching WrestleMania than there were watching that final college championship game to set the national championship that's happening here tonight. And I think that that is just mind blowing, that something that everybody goes into and is like, the outcome, somebody knows the outcome already, but we're so enthralled by the story, the storyline, the entertainment factor. Could that work in any other league? Now, not saying professionally, stuff like that, but if you came up with a XFL, but the storylines are there, you're scripted, would you watch something like that? Where it's football, but there's some scripting going on.
Well, okay. Let's look at it this way, you know. Me and my boys watched the program. You know, recently watching a lot of it, you know, and that clearly is scripted, you know, but it for whatever reason, after they watched it the first time, the next couple of days, you know, when I'm walking in the house, I hear Alvin Mack, you know what I mean? Hit the tight end so hard his girlfriend dies, you know, and I'm like, oh, now we're reciting the lines. You know what's going to happen. I don't care. I want to see it anyway. You know, so there's certainly a place for all of it. There's a place for it, just not in real competitive sports.
Not in real sports. Not with
my Bears.
Absolutely not. But I think, like, if there was like a storyline-based professional football league where you're like, yeah, we know the outcome, but guess what? Like, this is a story. This is like, I think there's some entertainment there. I think that'd be interesting, a little bit fun. Maybe that's what we're getting with the whole UFL thing. Have you watched a second of it?
No.
Hey, Lance ain't playing with y'all. He said, keep my rules the same. Keep that fake football up out of my real football.
It's, you know, I have nothing against it, man. And I want other leagues to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, it's baseball season. You know, there's a lot of baseball going on in Arizona.
Not on the south side.
But you know, out here, listen, we got it's in full swing now. So these travel leagues were all over the place. You know, spring football is in swing. So I'm busy, man.
You're not pulling up the UFL on your phone to check in to see what's going on with the Roughnecks. I think that's the name.
It's not on the red zone right now. I don't have the red zone kicking right now.
I don't even think there is a red zone for that.
I know. I might give it a shot.
I'll say this. If they can ever get the money to a point that it's competitive, I guess. Not it'll never be NFL money, but like where it's worth it for players to play there if you're a backup, I think it would be more interesting then, right? Like if you're the backup QB, but they're like, hey man, we'll give you $5 million if you come over here and play. Like, all right, I'm making $5 million over here to go play. I think you might see something happen there. But outside of that, I'll tell you this, it's not as exciting as college. And that tells you all you need to know.
I think that whatever beef the Canadian football owners and the NFL owners have, they need to get over it. You know, I think there's a lot of older guys that will hold grudges for until they die. Till we die, we will never, you know, and they need to get over that stuff. As reality is, the one league that has sustained is the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
You know, and NFL players do go from the NFL to the Canadian Football League. So, you know, I think a smart move would be for the UFL to do some sort of partnering with the Canadian Football League so that Canadian football has teams in the States and in Canada, you know, and we start to build that league because that league has sustained. Why don't you go towards something that has is sustainable rather than trying to create something that has not that had a footprint to sustain? You know, that way then players get more money, then they're more apt to say, okay, shoot, if I go for the league, I'll blow here and build my resume here while I'm making, you know, six figures or whatever, and then, you know, maybe I can get back into the league.
That's not a bad take. I'm with that. That'll be interesting. Now you get a little, yeah, I mean,
and
little,
you build the brand. You build the brand. You build the Canadian brand, and you help. You know, you help each other. You know, is because if Canadian football is successful and it's partnered with the NFL, then the NFL is successful.
Yeah.
Think outside the box.
Hey, that's back to WrestleMania. The Rock running everything over here with the UFL. So you got to keep an eye on that as well, man. Appreciate Lance pulling up as always. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. He wants the CFL to get bigger so that he can see more CFL highlights than what he saw in one season. Appreciate y'all for tuning in and showing love. As always, man, it's Bear Down here. Let us know how you guys feel. Who do you think is the Lance Briggs in this draft? Let us know in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Down. Peace.
Peace.
Bear Down, Bears fan. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. We got Lance in the building. We're reacting to everything today. We got Caitlin Clark talk. We got Bears talk. We got South Carolina talk. We got some WrestleMania talk. Lance, you mess with a little WrestleMania? We'll get into all that on today's episode. So stay tuned in with us. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, what's going on out there, man? You preparing for the eclipse, brother?
I mean, listen, it's, you know, in the state of Arizona, you know, it's really wide open. So, you know, when you look to the sky, you get to see a lot of the stars and the you know, the solar systems and things like that. You see a lot of color in the sky. So it's always been cool. And I remember when I left Sacramento and came out to Tucson, Arizona to go to college, I remember being outside and just, you know, laying outside, you know, whatever, outside a friend's house and just sitting back and looking up. And I'm like, wow, like I didn't realize the sky was this lit up, you know. And so it was always cool, you know. And I would always advise anybody in if they're in Arizona, you know, just go back into your backyard, just lay back and just look at the sky when you can.
Be careful of rattlesnakes out there, though. Yeah, I mean, they're out there.
And scorpions.
And scorpions, yes. Maybe lay on an elevated...
you're fine.
You seen those with a little cot? Yeah, I mean, a little cot action? I said cot.
Yes, I heard.
Got to clarify. No Diddy.
Listen, no Diddy. It is a new era.
Hey.
It's a new era. Hey, but you know what? Rattlesnakes, they warn you. Rattlesnakes warn you, you know, so that's the good thing about that. You know, I was a guy that didn't have the key to the front door and always used the back door and would go through the side gate, and the side gate, I'd hear the rattle every time. So it was a sprint every time. I would sprint right through just to get by, you know. And listen, I did this for at least half a year before I actually went and said, all right, I'm gonna get the new key. And that rattle was every time. Never got bit, not one time. Okay.
That's why you were able to move on the field so well. You come was getting on. That training.
I was high stepping feet this high up here. Wow.
Hey. I love it. Well, maybe that's what we're going to get in this draft here, man. Maybe we can find a player that's dealing with rattlesnakes and scorpions in the backyard.
That's a special player. You get that.
Shoot. I'm telling you, dog. Like that's how we know why everybody keeps losing to the African runners, right? I mean, that's a different environment you got to run in. That's a different level of, hey, I'm running. We running for real out here. That's what we looking for on this football field. A guy that has to dodge snakes and scorpions. You know he's going to have great footwork. He's going to be precise with his steps. Yeah, I mean, I like it.
He's running from snakes, you know, scorpions, cheetahs. Lions.
Yeah, I mean,
come on, man. This is all in the forefront right here. You know, it's a different type of running.
That's probably why them Australian players are so good. When you look at those rugby guys that get old, yeah, because I mean everything in Australia is trying to kill you. Like Australia's just trying to kill you. That's Australia.
38 of the most deadliest creatures in the world. There are creatures in Australia that there's no anti-venom. There's nothing. Like once there's a deer tick. There's a deer tick in Australia that once it digs into your skin, you're gonna die.
You're gonna die. Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, Lance, don't let me find out you're a big Nat Geo guy out here, dog. I mean, we gonna have a whole different conversation on this podcast now.
I tell you, man, sometimes when I'm bored or can't sleep, like I'll chase rabbit holes, you know. So like if I'm thinking like or something interesting, you know, like this is the most deadliest snake
that lives
in Australia, and I'm like, huh, let me look at all the best deadliest snakes tonight, and I look at all them up, their histories, their videos, all kinds of stuff, you know.
Hey, man,
if you're ever around, are they dangerous? Do they attack you? You know,
and that's the thing. It's the most depressing thing. I want to go to Australia, but like the black part of me just won't allow me to do it because it literally goes, what to do if they bite you?
If they right, that's what you always want to know.
Call your loved ones. Wait, yes. What? Call your loved ones. It's not gonna go well for you.
There's this video of big cats and like wildebeests getting bit by reacting to black mamba bites.
Yes, I've seen it.
Holy moly, I'm telling you.
It's bad. Yeah. I've seen it. It was like a mother lion with like her cubs, and it was just like, the cubs gonna survive. And it's over.
And the auntie lion is looking at her like this and got the cubs by her. We're like, go on, y'all.
Say your goodbyes. Yeah. We don't live in an anti-venom world. She gonna die. It's over.
Oh, the wildebeest broke down. He broke down all the way.
Like, hey, man, appreciate you guys for tuning in. Show love. This is the greatest podcast of all time. You get everything on this. Stop playing with us, dog. Hey, let's start it off here with our road to the draft, Lance, because I have a very interesting question pertaining to you. Road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Let's get a little bit of Bears football in here before we go out all crazy. You've started your draft evals, especially on these defensive guys, but I want to expand this out. Who is the Lance Briggs in this draft? Who is the player that teams are somewhat overlooking and are going to say, you know, maybe we take him in the second round, third round, that you look at and you're like, this kid's going to be a monster when he hits the field and you are all going to regret passing on him?
Mm. This is an easy one. This is an easy one. We're mentioning an Arizona guy. I'm going to pass the torch to another Arizona guy. All right. Let's go with Jordan Morgan.
All right? Really?
The left tackle from the University of Arizona.
Yeah.
Listen, he's got a first round grade. Okay. He may work into the second round. You know, he'll definitely be a lock for the second round at some point. But this is a guy that dominated during the Senior Bowl week. Okay, he did extremely well. His name, you know, when his name popped up or his name came up, they said this is a guy that had a great week.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a Tucson native. He's from Tucson, he was brought into the Jed Fish program and really excelled. You know what I mean? He was a guy that really took off over there and became a staple, you know, in that offense and protecting all those quarterbacks, and especially this last year, protecting Noah Fifita, you know, and that prolific offense, allowing the Wildcats to get 10 wins last year. So he's a guy, if you want to talk about somebody who's probably like, hey, listen, I know he's grading well, but there's a lot of talent here, you know.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, in the NFL, it's like, okay, we know you're good, but how far can we wait before we have to get you? It's all about when we have to get
right,
you.
Right, right, right,
you know, and so I'd say keep an eye out for that kid. And if and heck, if it comes to it and we have to draft back and we were still looking for that tackle, we haven't got him yet, and he's available, I would love to have that guy dress up in a Bears uniform. I think everybody will be happy with him, and he'll protect Caleb or whomever else that we may possibly get. But if he gets Caleb, you know, then he's going to protect his backside. We'll have Darnell Wright on his right side. We'll be happy. We'll be in good shape.
Jordan Morgan is a very interesting player. I brought him up as somebody who I'd like to see the Bears take as well because of the kind of offense that we're going into. I think struggled a little bit in the run blocking area, and maybe that's somewhere where, as a Bears fan, you go, but we got to run the football. We're the Bears, right? Like, it feels like everybody's still living in that old school moment. I'm telling y'all, Shane Waldron is coming here, and the ball is going to be in the air. We're going to be upset with probably the amount at the end of the year that we ran the football realistically. And this guy, Jordan Morgan, to me, absolute greater in the pass block. And somebody who I think is a... I don't know if he's a clear-cut upgrade over Braxton Jones, but I think that he's somebody, and I think you'd agree with this, Lance, that you probably look at and say he comes into the NFL at a similar level where Braxton is right now. That's where Jordan Morgan would probably be starting off.
Yeah, you know, it's and Braxton's come a long way, you mm-hmm. know, and he certainly has earned his recognition. The fact that we're talking about, you know, even upgrading at his position, yeah. you know, it says a lot about where we are, you know, as an organization.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, look, you know, as good as Braxton is, as a GM, you always have to do what's best for the team, and what's best for the team, in my opinion, is to still have I'd like to have Braxton competing with a first or second round, especially in this draft, left tackle, you know, and if it's a competition, great, you know, may the best man win. But we also have depth there if something happens, and everybody knows in this league, you know, most teams don't go, you know, teams don't go through a season without injuries. And yeah. most are hit by a major injury bug, you know, in position. So once the shuffle starts, we understand that shuffle in the offensive line. Once that shuffle starts, you want to have somebody that can step in and say, okay, we don't have to miss a beat here. We're going to be all right. We don't have to shuffle our left tackle to our right guard. And then, you know, that's where real major problems happen, because that's not the side that you wanted him on.
Yeah, and that would be, I think that's the thing that we've seen with this team most of the time, right, where you're sitting there trying to move Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins has really been the candidate for it, where he's basically played every position except center. Right. You know what I mean? Like, left tackle, hey, throw yourself in there. Right tackle, we need you there this week. I mean, it's hard to get a feel for the game when you're playing a different position every week. I think that may be one of the things, though, that the Bears may look away from, because we do know that they like that versatility. Jordan Morgan, this guy's a pure left tackle. I mean, he is not somebody you're moving around. And I mean, listen, 6'5", 311. He's got great athleticism, good hands. I love how he sets, how he attacks off of that left side. I love that left hand jab that he does to get people off. And so I would love that name. Do you think that the Bears are willing to move off of what we've seen them do, though, which has been they usually go for the guys that can play a couple of positions or that have played a couple of positions?
Well, I think there's a rating for all of these players, yeah. you know, and what's best available at that time, I think, makes the most amount of sense. I don't know if that's what the Bears are going to do, but it makes the most amount of sense. So if you get to, let's say we get to the end of the first round and we're going into the second, and we've got some of those picks back. So we have a second round pick and Jordan's there. We don't have a tackle at that point, and Jordan's there. You know, I don't see why we wouldn't take him at that position, you know?
Where does he fall to where you start to go, all right, bro, this is getting disrespectful? What number does he get past? Where you like, hey, y'all disrespecting my boy out here?
Well, to me, you look at the tackles that are being taken before him, you know, and that's the way I looked at it. If there were no linebackers taken in the second round when I got drafted, then I would understand, you know. But in the second round, there were, I think, 11 linebackers. I'm like, there's 11 linebackers that were taken before me. I'm like, this guy, I'm looking at this guy, all of his highlights are field goal blocks. What's going on, man? Can I see the linebacker making a tackle or a pick?
Hey, my man's got drafted. Who was it, Lance? Who was it? All his highlights in college was field goal blocks. Who went ahead of you then?
It was Boss Bailey. His name was Boss Bailey. Facts.
I feel like it's so interesting because we talk about this guy every year, not specifically Jordan Morgan, but we talk about that guy that you just look around your draft room and go, hey, what'd y'all see? Cause how'd we miss on this guy? How did we lose out on this player? How is it possible that we didn't bring him in and work him out? And I think that's always interesting.
Listen, and when I say this, man, I say this respectfully, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to the process and everybody that goes through it, because they, you know, I'm sure that a lot of these guys have worked their tails off to get where they are. But when I see certain talents that come through the NFL, you know, and I'm like, why would you like this guy? Like, why would you like this guy? You picked this guy and you had all these other options. And then you walk through the halls and you look at some of the scouts, I'm like, man, this scout is here. You're a tiny guy. Like, you start wondering, like, have you ever played football? Like, you're about 5'1" and 155 pounds, you know? And so then it clicks. It's like, you know, there's a lot of guys that really haven't played the game. Like you, high school level, maybe a little Division 4, 8, you know, but it, you know, and then it's like you start to get it caught up in the numbers. You're like, man, this guy is his bench press was crazy, and his 40 time and all this. I'm like, yeah, but can he play football?
But I think we see both sides of that, don't we, Lance? We've seen the players that step in and they're like, I know what I'm looking for, and then it's like, do you? Because the team that you've put together has not been amazing either. I think that the guys that I've seen be best at it, like I love John Lynch. And when you hear his process, it's like putting the numbers guys together, the 5'1" little, I don't listen, this guy, he runs a 4.4 thing. And then you put that with the eye test of the years of NFL experience. But we've seen those players that come in too, and they like, what? I can see it. I know this guy's got it. And it's like,
Well, you got to think about who's at the top. So let's talk about Ozzie Newsome.
Right.
All right. Ozzie Newsome, Baltimore Ravens. All right. They've won a couple championships, but they are a team that even when you think they're on their downslope, they find talent to make to get them into the doggone playoffs. They are a playoff contending team every year.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And Ozzie Newsome is a former player that hires guys, you know what I mean? Whether they're football guys or not, it still starts at the top with a football guy.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect science. Absolutely. At all. You know what I mean? And when a guy misses you, the thought is, dang, I can't believe he missed on that one. I thought he was going to be something too, you know. Yeah. But there's if you're a football guy and you're watching Kevin White, you know, you're watching Kevin White, you're like, nothing that I see is going to transfer to the league, man.
You mean those highlights of him going straight?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get it, man. Okay, he bitched a lot and he ran fast. I don't get it. Right, and so when it
jumps out of swimming pools, dog.
Oh, yeah, Gilbert, Jerron Gilbert, I got. That shouldn't be a highlight.
Yeah.
You know, and so that when I talk about Boss Bailey being drafted before me and going, you know, what earlier mid second round, you know, his highlight, his linebacker highlight shouldn't, three of them shouldn't be him blocking kicks or field goals. Like, yeah. It's, you drafted a linebacker. Show me linebacker highlights. You know,
I got a list of all the guys here that were taken ahead of you. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've ever gone through this. I knew Peanut was second round, but yo, Nick what Barnett. A miss.
Nick Barnett. Yeah, Nick Barnett.
yeah, what a miss by some of these teams. EJ Henderson was.
EJ Henderson, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Piece of Tino Asamoa, he's a player. He was a hell of a player. Yep. I watched him. I watched his highlights, but I also played next to him in the Senior Bowl. He flew all over the place. I was like, this guy is legit.
You were cool with that.
All over the place. Absolutely. Absolutely. He was all over the place. And got a chance to play with him as well. And dang, if he hadn't got hurt, I mean, that three, me, Urlacher, and Pisa would have been the best three player combination that we could have had. We just didn't get
absolutely.
It was so short.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and we played with some great really good linebackers, some great guys that could really play. But Pisa, man, a healthy Pisa was something else.
It was dangerous. I remember that. It was short, but it was dangerous. Yeah. Kawika Mitchell to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Kawika. Love Kawika, man. Love Kawika.
Eddie Kansas Moore City to Chiefs, the Miami.
He ended up at the Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills. Kawika did.
Okay.
Majority of his career. Yep.
Eddie Moore to the Miami Dolphins.
Yep. Eddie Moore, I believe he went to Kansas State guy, maybe. I think it was Kansas
Tennessee.
State, Tennessee.
He was in the SEC. Hey, I just want y'all to hear the difference in the yeps as I name these players off. I mean, he was like, Pisa. Oh, yeah, that's my guy. Eddie Moore. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Terry Pierce to the Denver Broncos.
He's the Kansas State guy. He's from Kansas
State. He is the Kansas State guy, yes.
Kansas State guy, yep, because when I remember going into the combine, there were who are the top at outside backers. So, you know, he was one of the guys that was up on that chain. So I knew I was competing. So, you know, when you go, you hear the name. So then you see everybody put the, you want to see their face.
Yeah.
You got
a little something.
Got a nice little build on him. Okay.
Alonzo Jackson went to the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Florida State. Yep. Antoine Peake, just ahead of you, Lance. Just ahead of you to the Houston Texans out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then our own Lance Briggs going one pick ahead of Jason Witten, baby. One pick ahead.
Woo!
Man, you got to – hey, that's a class, bro. I'm not going to lie. You're part of the class here, dog.
And the cool thing, like, so Jason Witten, we worked out together. We trained together. And what was cool was you know, we started doing one-on-ones, you know, because we're like, man, we really want to do some football stuff. So we'll do some one-on-ones. And so I think the first day that we went out and did one-on-ones, he wasn't expecting my coverage to be what it was, you know. And it was one of those, you know, that first time getting off the ball and I'm jamming the shit out of him. You know what I mean? He's fighting through and pushing off. And you know what I mean? And I remember him looking back and he's like, oh, yeah, we got to do this all the time. We got to do this. I want to do one-on-ones. We're going to do this all the time. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Hey, so, I love it.
It was great. It was good.
Man, listen, and I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. The draft is an inexact science. There's a lot of teams that wish that they had a Lance Briggs on their team. It was some good names in there, but there was some, yeah, we heard the yeps.
Yep.
Oh man, we gotta let you guys know this episode of the Chicago Bears podcast brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. All right, Lance, let's keep this thing moving along here. We gotta talk about greatness here. We got to talk about greatness, my guy.
And
we
saw greatness.
A lot of greatness this weekend.
Yes, we did.
South Carolina winning it all. Oh, my goodness. What did you see in that national championship game between South Carolina and, I mean, let's be real, Caitlin Clark, right? Like, that's pretty much what showed up for that game.
Hey, listen, 30s, I think it was something like 37, 38 bench points versus zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, it is funny, man, because my nephew and my oldest son, they were hoping that Caitlin could do it. And I'm telling them, like, listen, you guys, I don't know if you guys know this bench. You know, this South Carolina team is extremely loaded. Like, you got a shooter's chance, but she'd have to stop, pull up, and make every three all game long.
And she started trying that in the second half. Like, it was like, we're not going to make it.
But they're gonna contest every one of those shots. So yeah. It's very difficult to do. And so you got to see and to watch South Carolina do what they did. It is a very unselfish team to say, we're going to share points. I'm going to share minutes with all of these other girls to be great. Yeah. You know, because it literally means it's about the team.
Scorer is off the bench.
Yeah.
Tessa Johnson is your leading scorer. And I'm telling you, it could have been anybody that was hot that day. But once they saw that Iowa had nothing for Tessa Johnson, she just kept going, get back out there. Get back out there. Build him. I loved it.
And but on the flip side, it also speaks to how great of a player that Caitlin Clark is.
Yeah.
You know, because we really shake it down. You know, she took really a kind of a mediocre team, you know, ability type team, and carried and really, you know, I mean, I would say they just straight carried them, but she had kind of helped will them, you know, to a championship.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really impressive. And when I say, you know, mediocre or not that elite background,
it's not on the same level as
you don't have you don't have a bunch of, you know, the All-Americans, the history making players on your roster. You know, you're getting the best you can out of your roster. You literally are. You really are. And it also speaks a lot to the roster because, you know, she didn't do it alone. And with that roster, they got to the national championship.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. It was a game where it was Caitlin Clark, amazing first half, kind of got locked down a little bit more in the second half. Yeah. 18 in the first half. But I mean, it was Kate Martin, and that pretty much was the game. You know what I mean? Like, you just didn't have the dogs you needed. They had no answers off of the bench. Does this hurt Caitlin Clark's legacy, not finishing her college career with a national championship, getting two of them essentially taken from her, from Angel Reese, and now South Carolina coming in and taking the food off her plate yet again?
It depends on what you mean by that. Like, I mean, does it hurt your legacy? No, I don't think it hurts your legacy. But there are things that will come into play in the women's game. So, you know, if you're talking NCAA legacy, Breonna Stewart won four in a row. In her 4 years, she won four of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, that's – so when it comes like for the from the outside looking in, you know, before I know those details, I'm like, oh, this is the greatest ever.
Yeah.
But as a football player, when someone, they come out and they say, well, you know, Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back that's ever played. I'm like, he has the most numbers.
Yeah.
He has the most numbers. He had a hell of an offensive line on that Dallas Cowboys. But great. Like, if you
get
watch
me started
football,
on that.
Right, if you watch football, you know what I mean? I don't think he was better than Barry Sanders. In his era. So, you know, that's one of, like, from the outside looking in, you know, you may think that's the case. And she's certainly one of the greatest. But from an NCAA standpoint, from the inside, you know, the women that played understand it better than any of us.
Yeah. And I think that the only thing, she'll go down as the greatest scorer in college and in women's college basketball history.
Yeah.
But there was a chance to get into that next tier.
Yeah.
And she fell short of that. Right. Yeah. We'll always say Caitlin Clark, greatest scorer of college basketball. There's no doubt about that. But you're not putting her in the, I mean, to me, I don't know if you're putting her in the Candace Parker range. You're definitely not putting her in the Stewie range, right? She had a chance for two, but having a chance don't mean that you got it done.
Yeah.
And it is a team.
Don Staley didn't win it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Don Staley was there, what, three times and didn't win it. You know? I get it. It is what it is. That's fine. That's fine. That's the way it, shoot, man.
Is it not, wild? is it wild that people are like the generation before, let's be real, it's always a generational bias that comes in. Is it wild that we're kind of seeing the, like, you didn't get it done, you're not as good as people say you are?
No, but you know what is interesting about this national championship is, and I almost posted it, I didn't, I kind of said it just kind of around my house, was this has the setting of a Hoosiers remake. You know, I mean, this is a Hoosiers remake, and Bluter is Gene Hackman.
That's crazy. It's not a bad storyline, though. What? I'm not gonna lie. I'm not out on it. Man. Can we get it done? Can we get it done? I'm not out on it.
And if they would have pulled it off, I probably would have posted the Hoosiers, that is the game ending and all that.
Yeah.
You know.
It was that's not a bad take, Lance. That's kind of weird. But I mean, Indiana, I see where you're going here. There's so much that happened this weekend. Let's keep this thing moving along, though. Hey, Lance, you a WrestleMania guy? Did you check out any WrestleMania this weekend, Lance?
I used to be. I grew up a WrestleMania guy. I got out of it honestly right when The Rock started blowing up.
Oh, so you weren't even a part of all of The Rock stuff. You were out by then. You were like, it's all right.
Well, you know, when The Rock started, it was, everybody was using his lines, you know what I mean? And so I wasn't really there the way that I wasn't really there consistently when The Rock blew up, but everybody was like, you smell what I'm cooking, you know? I couldn't get away from it, you know, and I know that he was, you know, he was the headliner and all that stuff, so it's a big deal when The Rock's around.
Oh yeah, listen, anytime something goes down with Vince McMahon and this craziness happening around him, The Rock's got to come back and save the day. Yeah, yep. I mean, and WrestleMania last night was one of the better. It's so weird, right? Because at this point, we all know that the moves they're doing are real. The flips, all of that is amazing. But we all know it's scripted. But even with something being scripted, even with, right, you got to deal with the changes that come in, it's still one of the most entertaining events of the year. And I'll be honest with you, night one of WrestleMania, there were more people watching WrestleMania than there were watching that final college championship game to set the national championship that's happening here tonight. And I think that that is just mind blowing, that something that everybody goes into and is like, the outcome, somebody knows the outcome already, but we're so enthralled by the story, the storyline, the entertainment factor. Could that work in any other league? Now, not saying professionally, stuff like that, but if you came up with a XFL, but the storylines are there, you're scripted, would you watch something like that? Where it's football, but there's some scripting going on.
Well, okay. Let's look at it this way, you know. Me and my boys watched the program. You know, recently watching a lot of it, you know, and that clearly is scripted, you know, but it for whatever reason, after they watched it the first time, the next couple of days, you know, when I'm walking in the house, I hear Alvin Mack, you know what I mean? Hit the tight end so hard his girlfriend dies, you know, and I'm like, oh, now we're reciting the lines. You know what's going to happen. I don't care. I want to see it anyway. You know, so there's certainly a place for all of it. There's a place for it, just not in real competitive
sports. Not with my Bears.
Absolutely not.
But I think, like, if there was like a storyline-based professional football league where you're like, yeah, we know the outcome, but guess what? Like, this is a story. I think there's some entertainment there. I think that'd be interesting, a little bit fun. Maybe that's what we're getting with the whole UFL thing. Have you watched a second of it?
No.
Hey, Lance ain't playing with y'all. He said, keep my rules the same. Keep that listen, fake football up out of my real football.
It's, you know, I have nothing against it, man. And I want other leagues to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, it's baseball season. You know, there's a lot of baseball going on in Arizona.
Not on the south side.
But you know, out here, listen, it's in full swing now. So these travel leagues were all over the place. You know, spring football is in swing, so I'm busy, man.
You're not pulling up the UFL on your phone to check in to see what's going on with the Roughnecks. I think that's the name.
It's not on the Red Zone right now. I don't have the Red Zone kicking right now.
I don't even think there is a Red Zone for that.
I know. I might give it a shot.
I'll say this. If they can ever get the money to a point that it's competitive, I guess. Not it'll never be NFL money, but like where it's worth it for players to play there. If you're a backup, I think it would be more interesting then, right? Like if you're the backup QB, but they're like, hey man, we'll give you $5 million if you come over here and play. Like, all right, I'm making $5 million over here to go play. I think you might see something happen there. But outside of that, I'll tell you this, it's not as exciting as college. And that tells you all you need to know.
I think that whatever beef the Canadian football owners and the NFL owners have, they need to get over it. You know, I think there's a lot of older guys that will hold grudges for until they die. Oh, till we die, we will never, you know, they need to get over that stuff. Because reality is the one league that has sustained is the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
You know, and NFL players do go from the NFL to the Canadian Football League. So, you know, I think a smart move would be for the UFL to do some sort of partnering with the Canadian Football League so that Canadian football has teams in the States and in Canada, you know, and we start to build that league because that league has sustained. Why don't you go towards something that is sustainable rather than trying to create something that has not that had a footprint to sustain, you know, that way then players get more money. Then they're more apt to say, okay, shoot, if I go for the league, I'll go here and build my resume here while I'm making, you know, six figures or whatever. And then, you know, maybe I can get back into the league.
That's not a bad take. I'm with that. That'll be interesting. Now you get a little, yeah, you know I mean,
and
little,
you build the brand, you build the brand, you build the Canadian brand and you help, you know, you help each other. You know, because if Canadian football is successful and it's partnered with the NFL, then the NFL is successful.
Yeah.
Think outside the box.
Hey, that's back to WrestleMania. The Rock running everything over here with the UFL. So you got to keep an eye on that as well, man. Appreciate Lance pulling up as always. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. He wants the CFL to get bigger so that he can see more CFL highlights than what he saw in one season. Appreciate y'all for tuning in and showing love. As always, man, it's Bear Down here. Let us know how you guys feel. Who do you think is the Lance Briggs in this draft? Let us know in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Down. Peace.